I'm going to call this meeting to order, please. There seems to be, thank you. Oh, hey, Mike, how are you? There is a definite shortage of people, and I'm sorry.
We get two votes.
No. I know that Nathan is not going to be here yet. Hattery Herrera, McBean, Clairborn, Randall, Shinagawa, Sigler, Stevenson. Everyone else seem to be here.
That's a little ominous.
Shall we get this going? I have a resolution. I hope everyone... Let me back up 1 minute. Does everyone have a copy of what we're doing this evening on their table? Mm-hmm. Starts with sheriff, ends with district attorney. You all have that?
Yes.
Just raise your hand if you have it. And right, has a handwritten OTR number 036 on there?
Yep.
You all have that? Good. Second thing. Okay, you should have the emails that were sent out today. You should have cooperative extension OTR revised, and the district attorney, and is this on everyone's list? And resolution 167, livable wage policy adopted in 03, August 03. And I believe that's all the information that we've given you this evening. Let me start with, I have a resolution that I believe all of you have on the table, since it is an expanded budget committee. It's the adoption of the local law A of 2009, amending section 110-2 and section 110-7 of the county code to increase the surcharge of local telephone exchange access line in the county from 35 cents to $1. And we have to act on this so that it can be on the agenda for the next meeting, right? Will someone move this? Mike, second. Martha, discussion. Julie?
I thought that we set a hearing.
We did.
And that we were just going to get a revised version of the law, which I think is what's attached to this. So what are you saying we need to do tonight?
Put this on the support this so it can be put on the agenda for the first meeting in November.
It's
the resolution that would...
The resolution is coming from the Public Safety and Budget Committees, so it will be on the agenda at our next meeting, won't it?
The Budget Committee does not have regular scheduled meetings,
right?
So this is
September
the budget
and October.
Committee,
yeah, Public Safety and Expanded Budget.
Yes, the Expanded Budget.
It would be on the agenda anyway because it went through public safety.
Correct.
Right.
But because it's increasing fees.
So
and
I understand.
Revenues.
Thank you.
Okay. Two people had their hand up. Any discussion, questions, comments? All in favor of this, please raise your hand.
So, I'm sorry. Is this this revision is what Jonathan did? Okay.
All in favor of this, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Opposed? Frank? Are you? You here? You're, so you're,
you have another vote?
Yeah,
I'll be opposed.
Okay. 5-1. I want to make sure I get this count right here. It's getting complicated. Let me just mention what happened to me at the beginning of the meeting. There was a gentleman who was here who was at last night's meeting, and he asked me to comment on the county budget, and I didn't deny him the ability to do it, but I did say to him that This was probably not the appropriate time to do it because the budget was not put together. But he had been given some information by someone that this was the last time that you were able to, the public was able to discuss the county budget. So whatever publications we're doing and whatever kind of information we're putting out, I guess we need to double our efforts because clearly this is not the last time. And he had made a claim to me that there were going to be a number of people here because a listing, an email went out in the multiple listing service that said, you know, tonight was the night you had to talk to the county about their budget. So if I am saying this for whatever record there is of this meeting, that this is not the last time, and in fact, we will begin that process soon in November, and there will be ample opportunity for the public to comment, not only to legislators, but to anyone that would listen to them about the county budget. So I'm sorry that that person was not able to talk tonight, but they will get their opportunity at some later date. If you get right to the, unless there's some other thing, Joe, was there anything you wanted to say to start this up?
No.
Anyone else? Well, I appreciate the fact that all of you have shown up here. Let's begin with the sheriff. He's in the back of the room. We're talking about OTR number 090 and 091 on page 72 and the line item budget page 334 and 341. And there is a resolution that was put forward by Mike Kaplinkalaire, and it is in the amount of $90,000. And Mike, do you want to go ahead with that?
Yeah, I have two motions to amend. They relate to 091, which is the vehicle purchase.
Right.
One would be to decrease the target by $90,000, and the second, if that's successful, would be to increase one time by $45,000. Essentially, moving towards, at least in the short term, seeking vehicle replacement when we have cash available, but not having it in the target, given our financial situation.
Okay, so your first resolution is?
Decreasing.
The target by 90,000.
Yeah, it's presently at 185. Joe recommended, the request was 185. Joe recommended it at 90, and I would make that zero, but I intend to backfill it with
okay.
One time.
Is there, Mike has made a motion to reduce the target by $90,000. Is there a second to that? See no second.
I'm sorry. Can I ask a question?
Well,
that's fine. No second.
Okay, I'll second it to get it on the floor.
Okay. Go ahead.
You had a question?
I'd just like you to explain that again.
The present way that vehicles are funded, there's a certain amount in the target budget, and often if the sheriff is able to have savings in rollover, he uses that to continue his vehicle replacement. Not that many departments have an actual vehicle replacement plan built into their budget. They do it when they can. In this particular budget recommendation from our county administrator, there's $90,000 to begin to build up regular replacement in a target fashion. And I'm saying this is not a year to do that. I would do it in a one-time fashion. I believe that will still keep the fleet alive and well-maintained, but for the next year or two, I would do it with one-time money.
Okay. And thank you.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said.
I said thank you.
Okay. Martha, then Dooley.
You know, I'm way down here at the end of the room.
I'm opposed to this. The sheriff's, this is like water, I mean, for the sheriff's department. We can't do without cars, and the amount of money put towards cars has been dropping over the years. It has been, for a number of years, been pretty much funded by rollover, and that's been disappearing since the sheriff's target budget has been cut by a lot in the last few years. So I oppose this. However, I'd be happy to have to talk to Peter about bringing to the committee. There are still two public safety committee meetings in the year, and perhaps we can talk about a vehicle replacement plan and just educate the committee about that. And we don't need to wait till 2010 to do that. We can do that this year.
Okay, Dooley, and then Frank, and then me.
So there is no target money in the budget for vehicle replacement now?
There is 90.
There is none, and Joe is suggesting it go to 90,000 from zero, although the request was for more.
Peter, if you want.
There is some smaller amount.
There's a larger amount, Dooley. In the current 09 budget, there's 140,000 on law enforcement and 25,000 in correction. And that dollar amounts have fluctuated over the years, but that's the amount that's in my current 2009 operating budget. I had proposed 185,000 because we have traditionally funded vehicles through additional rollover money because there's never been enough money put aside for permanent spending for normal replacement of the vehicles, and that was chopped down to 89,900 or 89,896, if I remember right, not 90, by the county administrator. And I told him, and I think I'd reiterate it to you at my presentation, that for this year I could live with that because, in fact, I used rollover this summer and placed an order for three cars, one of which just arrived, the other two which will arrive probably next month to help us get through the year 2010. But, in fact, we're not, this 90 or 89 and change money that the county administrator has put in the budget is not an increase or not starting to fund budget cars through a target. It is a reduction of the current amount and a substantial reduction from what I requested.
That's what I thought it was. Mike made it sound as though it's just the beginning of some money in target. You just said there is money in target. You need more.
That's correct.
And that's what maybe I misunderstood you, Mike.
I disagree that it's a reduction from the current amount in this proposal.
It's a reduction from the requested amount.
Yes.
But there is some in there. I don't want to.
Well, it is a reduction. Less. It is a reduction for 2000 from 2009 to 2010. If you look in the current budget, I think the county administrator or the comptroller can verify that in fact there's $140,000 of permanent spending money in my law enforcement budget for cars, and an additional 25 in the correction under one-time money for cars. So that math minus 89 or 90 it's a reduction.
Frank,
Peter, stay up there, will you?
Yes, sir.
Can you comment on the effect? That's the one part that I didn't hear an answer to in Dooley's request. Can you comment on what the effect would be if Mike's proposal passes?
Well, yeah, we'd be able to buy no new vehicles, which would mean vehicles would either cost a lot more money than the money we have budgeted for repairs in the short term, and or we would have to start parking vehicles that broke down that clearly had expensive repairs that exceeded the value of the car, because there's no point in putting that kind of money into a vehicle if it doesn't have any longer use from an efficiency standpoint as far as an accounting standpoint to maintain that vehicle. Keep in mind these are vehicles that are people's office 8 hours a day. They're not a standard street car used to run back and forth from A to Z. The cars that are used at sometimes at high speed, definitely in inclement weather, that deputies use around the clock as their office to deal with complaints and any other law enforcement needs throughout the county.
Peter, we used to get a spread that showed by vehicle how many miles they had logged. And my recollection was that we used to be on somewhat of a replacement plan, that when they hit about 120,000, something in that area, because it didn't take long for one of your cars to reach that because of what you just said. Of the fleet you have now, how many would you say are in that aging category where they need to be replaced? And can you guess as to what the mileage on one or two of them might be?
I just checked the mileage on car 113 this morning, and that's got 93 to 94,000 on it. I think it was 93.8, 93.9, and car car 114 had 89,008 on it. And I got a series of cars that are in the 70s, and by the time the budget's approved, we can't spend the money until January, and then the orders are placed, and the cars show up. They're at that line where they need to be replaced. It's an ongoing replacement plan. In fact, I've sent no less than three plans in the last 6 months to either the Public Safety Committee or the County Administrator or both about this issue. I had an extensive discussion and plan that I laid out to Public Safety, I believe back in June, when we were talking about the issue of rollover, that laid all this out.
And no Firebirds or helicopters, right?
Dodge Chargers or Chevy Impalas for unmarked.
Peter, I have a couple questions. Out of $90,000, how many cars can you end up with?
Well, there's 90, and then there's allowing me the use of leftover 2008
right.
rollover money. So I'm anticipating we'll be able to use that money to come up with five cars.
Five cars. And the cars that you're going to replace are all some of the ones you just described?
Yes.
Okay. My problem with this, I'm not going to support it, the $90,000 reduction. My problem is that I believe that the county has to involve themselves in a vehicle replacement program overall, and we have to start thinking about how we replace the vehicles that we use in the county, and they should not be paid for at the end of a budget. They should be paid for if they're part of a out of a budget, then they should be in the request as a target from the beginning. It's clear Sheriff Road Patrol uses cars. It's clear DSS uses cars. That should all be part of an ongoing expense. Someone else had their hand up.
Yeah.
Martha?
No, I'll pass.
Carol?
Yeah, it seems to me, I may support this. It seems to me, unless somebody can give me the flaw in this argument, it seems to me that this solution allows the sheriff to purchase as many cars as he needs to this year and gives us a whole year then to do a combination of either looking more carefully at a vehicle replacement policy that would operate across departments and or allow the sheriff to spend a whole year planning how to build vehicles in next year by reducing other parts of the budget next year.
Okay, may I try to make a comment on that? That would work if you parked the sheriff's cars for a whole year while you were doing the replacement. That's not the way it works. The new cars would be on the road. Other cars would reach a limit that you would not want to have them in your fleet anymore because of the money you would spend to repair them and keep them going.
Well,
Mike?
I am intending to do a two-step process here. I will replace some of the money with one time. There are 30 cars for 23 deputies. They're not all on the road at once.
Whoa. Wait a minute. I have 88 employees in the sheriff's office. I have 24 deputies, 7 sergeants, 5 investigators, the undersheriff, the sheriff, the captain, and 40-some people over in corrections, and we all use the cars, Mike. Simple math. And the county administrator or his office can verify it, by the fuel bills alone, we run 750 to 800,000 miles a year. If you replace a car at the 100 range, you're talking 8 vehicles a year that need to be replaced. The money that the county administrator has put in the budget, which I said I could live with, would take care of 5 vehicles in 2010. We review this, Carol, routinely. I don't need a full year to look at what our fleet is, what our annual usage is for mileage and fuel, and tell you that we need cars. The other big issue is if you cut back any further than what the county administrator has already cut, you just exacerbate the problem for the following year, and you're going to run into buying 12 or 14 cars or taking a capital program to buy automobiles, or we're not going to run deputies on the road if you're not going to give us cars. There won't be a vehicle for us in literal and other sense to go solve county residents' problems.
Duly Will, and then Carol. And then I'd like to get
I think it's an unwise thing to do this with one-time money because the need isn't going to go away, whether it's a countywide fleet purchasing program or a departmental program. It's just not going to go away, and if we change it into one time this year, it puts us worse off next year. And I can't support what Mike's proposing.
Well,
I was just going to propose to call the question, but Carol wants to say one last thing, and then...
Carol?
I just want to make sure I understand. How many vehicles can you purchase with the money that's in the target budget now? And then
the amount of money that the county administrator has allocated into the budget for 2010 between rollover and the amount he set aside will allow me to purchase five vehicles.
Five vehicles. And then how many will you be able to purchase in addition under the proposal that Mike is...
Mike's talking about eliminating my money. We're not going to be able to purchase any cars.
Except
for this year, in this year's budget...
In 2009 or 2010?
In 2010, my understanding is that what Mike is proposing is that there still be money, but it be done with one-time funds instead of target.
$45,000 won't even get me two cars.
Is that correct? Am I misunderstanding Mike or Peter?
Well,
it's going to be less than five cars.
The first resolution, Carol, is to negate $90,000. It got seconded. You seconded it. So the first vote is going to be on that. And then Mike had a second proposal to put 45 back in as one time. So I think what I want to do is vote on the 90,000.
Can I amend?
Just a clarification.
Would it make sense to amend Mike's?
Just a clarification. Is the first resolution, is the second resolution dependent on the first being passed?
If it doesn't pass, I won't be moving the second. If the first one does pass, I will move the second.
Okay.
So all in favor of the first resolution, which deletes $90,000 from the budget. Signify by raising your hand, please. 1, 2, opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, that's defeated.
Okay.
Yes?
Does it make sense to try again on this with a motion that would transfer all of that 90,000 from target to one time, or let's see, it's not all from target to one time. So what's now line 5231?
I'd recommend, given the discussion today, you'd be best to wait on that.
Okay.
Could I ask if we're going to do this, that people understand two important things? Number one, any motion like that eliminates the entire funding for any vehicle purchase in 2010. And number two, it's not 90,000. The county administrator has the correct number in the budget. I believe, by recollection, it's like, what, $89,886. So we should at least make the dollars correct because we've already coughed up over $200,000 in money in the budget that you don't even see in front of you as an OTR between training and other equipment and $50,000 in overtime labor and $20,000 in benefits that are gone without me asking you for any OTRs. We're asking for the baseline stuff. That's why we only put in two OTRs to keep going for another year. And as I explained when I made my presentation a few weeks ago, that's clearly an unsustainable item to keep going like that without a major reduction in services to residents in 2011.
Martha.
I can just comment in general. It just puts us more in the hole next year. As Julie said, if you take something that's clearly not going away and fund it with one time, then that means the increase in the levy the following year simply has to be more even to keep where we are. It's not a strategic or a wise thing to do unless you're actually going to get rid of the service.
We have 090, which is or 90 target increase of $7,500, right, Martha?
I'll move that. That is half of the overtime. Sheriff requested money to maintain the staffing. This is the equivalent of one deputy, and Joe moved Joe funded the deputy but not the overtime, so my motion is to put half the overtime in for, as a target expense.
Is there a second?
What's the dollar amount?
$7,500. If I get a second.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Frank? Question, discussion? Martha?
Just to explain, it's a management issue, it's a management problem if you don't have enough overtime, and this isn't the full amount, but I thought given this kind of budget that it would help. So if Peter wants to say anything about it, I'd be happy.
Mike and Frank.
This is a $3.8 million budget. I think that they can find, if they need money for overtime, $7,500.
Frank?
Peter, I'm sorry. Can you say again how many road... Is this a road for road patrol?
Yes.
Can you say how many are road patrol right now?
24.
Everybody logging...
Deputies.
Is everybody logging some overtime? Pretty much?
Yeah, probably so. There are some that do more, some that do less, but there's an average. Keep in mind, in the budget that you have in front of you for 2010 for the sheriff's office, I have already made a reduction of $50,000 plus the associated benefit cost, which is $20,250, I believe, which is over $70,000 in reduction in overtime with no additional staff. The OTR for the staff person is just to maintain a position that exists right now. It is not adding a new deputy sheriff to the roster or the budget. It is simply trying to maintain that. And I'd asked to have the full 15 plus benefits, which is 20 and change. This 7,500 will help, but 7,500 will be actually reduced because 40.5% of that will have to be used towards benefits. So the real amount of overtime for that 7,500 is somewhere in the neighborhood of where that calculates out, a little under $5,000. So it's important to understand that, like I said earlier tonight, you asked us to make $371,000 in cuts. Those cuts have been made, and we asked for two restorations. We've been granted the 89, and then I think it's about 70 that Joe's number is. So that's, add 9 and 7 is 160,000. In rough numbers, we're already suffering a $211,000 cut. There is no rollover funding that's going to be allowed to be used in any type of wage excess in 09 for any county department in 010 to purchase or to make ends meet. We've already seen fuel prices go up 5 to 10 cents in the last week, and we're budgeted extremely tight on fuel and its price. There's no slack. If it runs up much more than that, we're going to run over, and there's no slack anywhere to do it. The budget is bare bones, bottom line budget that will allow us to provide the most basic service in a basic sense. There isn't any fluff.
Well, I have another one, though.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Peter, I know you don't have this in front of you, but the one that we have shows three lines. Fringes, your request was about 26,000, was recommended at 20. The next one was deputy sheriff, and this is the OTR one. Your request was 15,000. The recommended was zero. The last one is a deputy sheriff, almost 50,000, 49.9, and that was recommended at the whole 49.9. Is that for a person, that deputy sheriff?
No, we've held the position vacant until you guys go through the budget because we were initially this spring looking at a 6.25% cut, which we calculated to be $175,000 to $185,000. But when the benefits and everything else got added back in, and because we're a payroll-heavy department, the cut is $371,000 and change. So we opted not to fill the position when somebody left until we were relatively sure that we're going to have funding to do the job.
Well, the reason I ask that is under deputy sheriff, it says the number is 49,965.
That's a current 05 wage for deputy sheriff.
Okay. Your fringe request was 26 and change. My suspicion is that that's a percentage of the salary, the way any other department figures it. The recommendation was for the 965, but the fringes were only recommended at 20,238. That falls short of what you may pay, be able to pay in fringes. We haven't even talked about overtime.
I think the fringe number is correct, isn't it, Joe?
It is, I think the sheriff was trying to explain this. The sheriff asked for the base salary of a deputy, that's the $49,000.
Okay.
In addition, $15,000 of overtime.
For overtime.
And then you have to add the fringe factor to salary plus overtime, so you get the $26,000.
Okay, but if you go to...
The next one is what I've recommended, which is salary, but not the extra $15,000, so you don't pay fringe
right,
on that $15,000.
But
that's what lowers that third number, which is the fringe, to $20,000.
Oh, I see. The overtime has a direct effect.
Okay, yeah, that's, you have to apply fringe to the overtime. And
the $6,000 is reflective of the not fund. So if we go with $7,500 on the overtime, we also have to change the fringes by a percentage because that adds something back in.
Well, that's up to you, Frank. But if you're putting in $7,500, realize that 40.5% of that disappears to pay for fringes, so that whatever the math is, what are you, about $4,500, $4,700 will be used for overtime, and the rest will be used for fringes.
Now I'm really confused, because in the original request that you made, it appears that the overtime that you were asking for at 15,
right,
none of that was used to fund the increased fringe at 26. But in the county administrator's explanation, when the OT was taken out, it reduced the fringe. Now if we add $7,500 back in, you're saying we have to take the cost of the fringes out of the overtime money?
Well, if you want to do it properly and give me or any other department X number of dollars for labor, whether it's overtime or regular salary, you've either got to add the fringe on the top side, or the reality
right.
is if it's not done, they're going to reduce that number by 40.5% and split the $7,500. So X is over in the fringe side, and X plus okay. is over
so
in the payroll line.
So the $7,500, what you're saying now is that it actually will have to go to offset some of the increase in fringes.
As the maker of the motion, can I clear this up?
Well, when you stop talking.
Well, I got another 20 minutes, so go for it, Martha.
Okay. When I made the motion, I wasn't thinking about the fringe. So I think my intention is to have half of the overtime show up, not that 40% of the half go to fringe. So
I think we want all of the money to go towards OT.
So I would change the motion to include $3,038 on the fringe line. So
plus the $7,500.
Right, $7,500 and additional $3,038. So the total request is $10,538.
That's where I was going too.
I got you.
So
you could do it either way. That's why I didn't want to tell you that you had to do it that way, because technically you could do it the other way.
I will still second that.
Were you the seconder?
Yeah.
Okay, you're okay with that? You both agree, and it's Will's turn.
Okay. Peter, I heard Mike say a large budget, you will find a way. What if we fail to do this? What are the practical implications, realistically, in terms of...
Well, ultimately, in a 24/7 law enforcement operation, it's a budget, it's a best guess estimate. If we run into a lot of issues where we have to use overtime because of criminal acts or natural occurrences, storms, etc., then in fact we're simply going to run over budget, and unfortunately we're going to just send you the bill. Because in the old days, before the rollover was taken away and before $200,000 in other money has been cut out of this current budget, I would always rob Peter to pay Paul as the year went on. Like, we went heavy in one area, we go light in the other to do what we need to do, and manage the overall bottom line. The trouble is there's no slack in that bottom line anymore to continue to do the majority of the services we do now. We're already looking at reducing some services for next year with this budget in place. And so there's no gray area, there's no slack. If fuel goes up, if something else occurs, whatever those issues are, it means we're going to run over budget.
The amount on the floor, Mike?
We're at 4.16% without this motion being passed.
Right.
At some point, to get 8 votes to pass this budget, I believe we have to start taking back out of some of the motions that are already on the floor or find corresponding places to either increase revenue or decrease expenses. And I don't think at this moment is the time to add once again, because make even more onerous our need to balance it to be able to get 8 votes for this budget in the end by next Wednesday night.
Are you going to respond to that, or can we vote on this?
I need to respond.
Go ahead.
That's why early on I asked that people not be looking. I asked that people let us go through the whole budget. It's just not fair to that whoever's first in line is more likely to get approved for an addition because that number goes up. That's what revisits are all about. And this is our process of sifting through these, you know, how many OTRs we have and seeing which ones have support. And then we see where we are, and then we whittle it down if we have to. So this, I think, is important, and that's why I'm, you know, trying to get it in.
I feel a vote coming on. All in favor of this, it's $10,538 added back into the Sheriff's Department budget. All in favor, signify by raising your hand, please. 1, 2, 3. Pose. Penny? 1, 2, 3, 4.
I'll vote yes on that. I'm very torn about it.
Still fails.
Still fails. Okay. It's 4-4.
All right.
Next item, Human Services Coalition Agencies, OTR 051, OTR page 37 and 39, line item budget 167 and 174, and this is 051, and Zookeeper has, it's a colon request, right?
Before we get into this one, I wanted to respond to what Mike and Martha were just saying about the percentages and what it means. I want to say out loud for the benefit of anybody who's paying attention to us that the chart that Norma sent out saying what a tax levy increase of a certain percentage would call for in property tax rate increase matters to the public. And we're not anywhere near 5% yet. And yet a 5% tax levy increase on a median property, which is about $160,000 property, would raise that property owner's tax $48.85 for next year. And that's the dollar amount effect that we seem never to talk about. But it's what enables me to support additions at this point before we see if we have to whittle it down. Thank you.
Thank you for that comment. 051, and I have your name on it, Dooley.
I thought it was Martha's name that was on it.
So. All right, I'm sorry, that's it.
Oh, sorry.
It'll take a second to get here because that page is just the beginning of the section. It's
actually on page 40, Martha.
Page 40.
Well, it's also on the front of your blue. Item number 3, Keeper Robertson will be making a motion to add 37860 target funding.
Okay. If you're in the big book, the actual OTR description itself is page 178, 179. I'm going to ask Kathy to come. Hi, Kathy. Up because this is related to a question. First off, I understand that for whatever reason, that this is listed as a request for $31,047, right? It's in this book.
Yes.
But I've heard from both you and Nancy that the correct amount is supposed to be $10,600. So I know that doesn't affect Joe's budget because he didn't approve it, but everybody needs to understand that the request was $10,600.
Where did that number come from?
It's 2.25% on the amount for the agencies. It's a cost of living increase.
On the county share. What?
Feel free to share.
The county share of the group of agencies, the Health and Human Services Basic Assistance Agencies, after the 6.25% reduction, but then a 2.25% requested COLA increase on the remainder of that piece. And that, for all those agencies, about 18 of them, is $10,600. OAR is separate.
Okay.
Is that clear?
Now, I also understood, Kathy, there was a question earlier about if all the, and this is so I know what motion I'm really intending to make, okay? If all the requests from the agencies were funded, in other words, your board took cuts out of what the agencies requested and then made those recommendations to us, and then Joe cut those back. I think we asked you earlier if all those requests were approved, how much would that be?
Be right with you. That's not what actually the original question was, and I'm not sure we have that number.
All right.
If we put all the agencies back to where they were without the cuts, that number is around $40,000.
Okay.
That includes OAR. We can look up in a second what the number is for everybody's requests. If everybody was giving, yeah. But this is to put people back to 2009. Including, sometimes we look at OAR separately and sometimes we don't. So when I talk, I'm going to put it in here. If you want to look at it separately, I'm okay with that.
Okay,
too.
Then I would like to make, without you doing that, so it's $40,000, give or take.
$40,009, actually.
$40,000, that's really give or take. I would like to move, instead of this $10,600, I would like to move $20,000 that would include the COLA, but allow HSC to restore some of those amounts. So in a sense, this is whichever way you want to look at it. I'm saying $20,000 to HSC to administer for the agencies that have requested funding and haven't been given their full amount. Thank you for letting me talk about that.
I mean, there are... Where would it
we
go?
We need a second.
You need a second.
I'll second.
Second. My question is, where would it go? I mean, I'm looking at a sheet with a whole bunch of different COLAs for human service agencies and human service coalition. Where would it go, Martha?
I would allow the coalition because they shepherd these and vet them on the way in. I would allow them to do that on the way out and leave that up to them as to how to distribute the funds.
We take it back to the review committee to distribute.
Carol.
I would just like to talk for a second that to disclose a relationship that I have with a particular agency and let you know about the conversation that I had with Jonathan Wood about how I should handle that. I have a personal relationship with one of the agencies. I'm married to Paul Mazzarella, who is director of Ithaca Neighborhood Housing Services, which is one of the agencies on the list. What Jonathan recommended that I do and what course of action I would follow, unless I hear objections from my colleagues, is that if there is a particular, I wanted to do this before we get into the discussion about where it would go and how it would do, how it would work, that if there is a particular resolution that pertains to that particular agency, that I will recuse myself from the vote. But if it is a resolution that that allows the Human Services Coalition to determine what happens with the allotment.
Okay, I guess I understand. My question is, the $20,000, does it have anything to do with the agency that she has a relationship with?
Well, I mean, if you gave us $20,000, we would take it back to the review committee to distribute where they've done a review long. They looked at everybody's budget. I'm not sure how they would distribute it, and one of the agencies that she's referring to is part of the whole list. I don't know whether we go to that agency or not.
Go ahead.
So in the past, we've done, like my motion with the health department, kind of given an amount of money and allowed the department head to decide where it goes. So I'm not going to tie this to specifically to this COLA request, OTR 51, although if that's where you want to book it, that's fine. So that my idea is that however the review committee decides, that would be their priorities. I would be happy with that.
Mike? Oh, I'm sorry. Frank, then Mike.
We look a lot alike.
Well, yeah, it's the glasses, I think.
I think so. We're really off track here. The OTR that we're supposed to be dealing with is this cost of living increase. Now we have digressed into broadening this to giving $20,000 to the coalition to distribute in any way they see fit, or the review committee wants to apply it. It may or may not go to the cost of living increase. It may go towards a distribution among the various agencies that the review committee chooses to sprinkle this over. I think this motion's out of order because it's the OTR that we're supposed to be dealing with is the one on cost of living increases. If you want to change that number from $31,047, which was the request, the county administrator recommended zero. But if you want to change that to the $10,000 number that I heard Nancy mention and clarify that it's really $10,000, I think you said $10,600 or $10,600. It's really not $31,000, so I'm a little puzzled by that. How did we make a $20,000 error? But can we get back on track and talk about the cost of living increase here? No, we can't.
Mike, okay. And then I'll go back to. Go ahead.
At any number, I won't be supporting this because I believe our own departments are being essentially asked to expect a 0% increase in our salaries for 2010. Every single employee has been given that message. And if there is a cost of living increase above zero, there has to be corresponding expenses decreased to pay for that. That is the exact same situation that denying OTR 51 request has in effect for all these agencies. They're being asked if they want to have a salary increase, they find it someplace else in their budget. We're only asking them to follow our own pattern.
Willie, you have your hand up?
No.
Martha?
Well, I think that's why that's part of why I would like to broaden it out to $20,000 as a not necessarily COLA, but the review committee has. And you know, Frank, we're allowed to make any motion that we want. So this is where we're having the conversation. The review committee knows the agencies in depth. They do, you know, they review their budgets in depth, line by line. They make visits, et cetera. I think that the review committee and the board and the staff of HSC are the ones who've really taken this burden of evaluating each separate agency off our shoulders for a number of years, and I think we've been pleased with how they've done it. They distributed the funds that they had, trying to stay within the targets given to them. I wanted to just give a little bit back. This doesn't give back everything that they wanted or asked for or needed. I would also just mention that these are the agencies that are propping up our citizens in this terrible economic time. These are the agencies that are doing the food pantries and the child care and distributing clothing and you know, working on affordable housing at a time when the need is is tremendous, and our social services department can't do it without these agencies. Their salaries, in particular, are bare bones. I have to say, when I'm on the human services listserv, when I see a job listing come up, I'm curious. I'm not looking for a job, but I notice I'll look at, and they'll have somebody with a master's degree, salary is $25,000 is the offer, or maybe 20 for starting for a frontline worker. So I think this is money that would be well spent.
Will, and then a vote.
Thank you. And just adding to that, in response to Mike, I mean, we're asking departments to take that hit. Here are whole agencies that forced by the parameters basically are getting nothing. And this is attempting to give the Human Services Coalition a little more latitude to restore some of those cuts. And I would hope we support this.
Duly. And then a vote.
These agencies do our work for a less expensive amount than we could do it under our auspices, in large part because of the pension requirements we have and so forth, and our fringes. So what I need to understand from you, Martha, might this be used to bring any salaries up to living wage, or is that a separate consideration? I'm not sure where that might fit in.
Duly refers to the next motion I would like to make, and it's listed on here on the blue sheet. I don't see that as replacing this.
So that's a separate motion.
That's okay. A separate one, because it's come to our attention that even with these increases, we're not confident that these people would be brought up to livable wage.
So I guess I don't view this so much as a cost of living increase as sort of a maintenance of effort for the agencies. We need them very much. So I will support this unusual round amount as something that will help our residents.
All in favor of the resolution to add $20,000? Is that your amount? Signify by raising your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4.
I'd like to move it to that 10,000, the same idea.
Is there a second? Will? All in favor of the second resolution, 10,000. Signify by raising your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Opposed? 1, 2, 3. Okay. 5 to 3. Martha?
Yeah.
You have one more?
Yes, I do. On your blue sheet, it says that we'll be making a motion this evening to add $37,860 target funding to several human service agencies in order to increase specific salaries that are currently being paid below livable wage. The coalition will have the responsibility for distributing these funds to the appropriate agencies, and I so move, and I'd like a chance to explain.
I'll second.
Is there a second? Go ahead.
On your desk is the resolution from 2003, livable wage policy. And it goes through the fact that state and federal governments have failed to keep the minimum wage at a level sufficient to maintain self-sufficiency, that AFCU has documented what constitutes a livable wage in Tompkins County. And they've updated that to this year, and the livable wage is $11.11 an hour with health insurance, approximately a dollar an addition if there's no health insurance paid by the employer. The coalition did a salary study this year. I have it here. And I noticed that it appeared that a number of categories, people, the minimum wage, the lowest wage shown was clearly below the living wage. Kathy, at my request, very kindly went pretty much basically through every one of the budgets that we fund, where we support, where we have a contract. And I have the information here in detail for which agencies and which job titles. I'd rather this not be a public you know, conversation to specifically name those agencies, but there are approximately 17 employees in four agencies, and the sum total to bring those people up to living wage would be this amount, $37,860. I will point out that the living wage is calculated for one adult. If that one adult has one kid, you're off the charts. I mean, you know, this $38,000 for however many of them have children are still wouldn't bring them to a living wage. But it is our policy that, and I'm reading the second resolved, it should be the policy of the Tompkins County to consider the wage levels and benefits, and particularly health care, provided by contractors when awarding bids or negotiating contracts, and to encourage the payment of livable wages whenever practical and reasonable, and that we urge all employers to make a good faith effort, et cetera. So to pay at least a livable wage, I think it's the responsible thing to do, and frankly, I think it probably keeps people from requiring public subsidies. They might be full-time workers, but still need public subsidies just to get by.
Mike, Carol, Pam.
Is somebody, did you make a motion? You seconded, okay.
Mike, Carol, Pam.
I won't be able to support the $37,860. I've been a director of human service agencies in this community. One of the first things I always did when I became director was look at the wages and work hard over whether it was 1 year or 5 years to get everyone in that organization above the livable wage and even beyond. I think I have lots of creativity in doing that. I don't think necessarily that this policy applies to every single contract agency that we contract with. I think we can urge, we can encourage, we can set a standard, but if we open this floodgate that every single agency or organization that we have any kind of tentacle to, we have to pay livable wage to, we're going to have a long line at the door.
Carol?
Again, in the interest of disclosing, I want, and especially because this has to do with wages, I do want to disclose that this is not, INHS is not included here. They have a policy of paying a living wage, as far as I understand, to their agencies, and they're on public record as such. I will support this. I believe that these agencies are sort of the original concept of privatizing in the ways that we should be providing a safety net to all of our residents, and it's the least we can do to make sure that the people who really give up their own lives to do such will have the ability to do so without having to sacrifice at such a great way.
Pam.
Well, I'm a great believer in paying people a decent wage, and the thing that concerns me here is that it feels as if we are just we have this pot of money that we have, and that we are dividing it one way. And I guess if we increase the wages of people who are not making a livable wage, I feel as if that we are also going to be decreasing the amount of money that we are going to be, you know, paying to support other things that need to be supported that help people who are in need. And we also have taxpayers who are in need. So this one is a complicated one for me because I feel as if that we are just adding these things on because we believe in them and we care about them. But I think that we are being unrealistic in what we have, the ability that we have to pay for this, and so I don't know how I'm going to vote. I'm very torn.
Well, I like surprises, Frank.
Thanks, Jim. I agree with Pam. The concern that I have. Not only are the taxpayers getting hurt, and they've also been falling into this category. When this resolution was crafted in 2003, notice the wording
was carefully selected, because some of us participated in drafting this. Nowhere does it say that the county will pay that money. It says that we will encourage the agencies and the employers to work and make a good faith effort to pay their employees at least a livable wage. In the whereas, it says we'll review it, and we do. We do make an effort to do that. The concern that I have piggybacks on what Pam is talking about, we're going to be adding, we're not even through the list of revisits yet, and some of us have some items that we want to consider perhaps even on Monday or next Wednesday that aren't on the list yet. While I think all of us are sympathetic, we understand that everybody's hurting. But please don't forget that the people that are going to have to pay the freight are also hurting. And one can say, well, this is only pennies on your tax bill. Well, let me be candid with you. There are people that are losing homes. If you open the legal section of the paper, the foreclosure list has increased in the legal section. Not only that, there are those that are buddying up because they can't afford to live in apartments anymore. They're also living together to save money because they can't afford to maintain a living unit. So I understand where Martha's going with this as far as being sympathetic towards trying to make up what these folks may lose. And I think Mike hit it on the head also. We have county employees that are facing a non-increase next year. And many of us on the private side we haven't had increases in the last 3 or 4 years. So there's an equality of pain going around, believe me. Thanks.
Dooley will.
I think the most important part of this resolution is actually the fifth whereas, which does say the county will do it to me. Whereas Tompkins County has demonstrated its commitment to livable wages by ensuring that its own employees are paid a livable wage and by undertaking an initiative to facilitate wage increases for persons employed by human services agencies working under county contracts.
But it doesn't say we'll pay them. It says facilitate.
That's the county initiative, and that's how we have acted each year when we have dealt with this issue. When you talk about people who are having a hard time staying in their homes, making ends meet, all of the bad things that are happening because of the financial meltdown due to under-regulation from our federal government.
Don't go there, do
This group of people are the ones who are hurting every bit as much because of the low level that they take home in pay, and that we can help that and at the same time help them continue to serve our residents with services that our residents need more than ever at this time seems pretty straightforward to me.
Well,
Billy said most of it. I guess this is why we passed this resolution originally. We wanted to establish that standard, and we are falling, our agencies are falling further behind, and I think this is the time to attempt to give them the wherewithal to keep their very hardworking employees at least somewhat above water. And I strongly encourage us to pass this.
Martha, Pam.
I have a question for Nancy and then for Norma. Nancy, were you able to find out whether the one agency, whether that position is going to be in the budget next year or not?
No, they won't know till the end of the year whether they can put it in the budget or not.
Okay, there was one that could have reduced the amount by $2,000. Norma, at $37,860, how much will this add to the tax levy?
I should unfreeze the screen. Huh?
It's going to be a tenth of a percent.
Yeah.
A tenth of a percent.
This is to 4.26.
It went from 4.15 to 4.26.
Okay. I submit this is, these are the people most likely to spend the money and circulate it in the community. These are the folks who are, this is going to sound odd for me, but doing the Lord's work. I mean, these are the people who are doing hands-on, frontline people carrying out the social service mission. And it seems, as in the first whereas, any person who works full-time should be able to support themselves on their earnings. I really urge that we walk the walk. As the IDA chair, we had we've had two very lively meetings in the last 2 months about the Hotel Ithaca proposal, hoping that to be able to convince the developer to provide a living wage for the hotel workers, and I supported that. I still support it. We're working very hard to try to make that happen. It seems hard to ask somebody else to do that when, for the sake of 0.1% on our levy, we couldn't do it ourselves.
Pam?
I pass.
Carol?
Yeah, I just want to point out that I don't believe that we should be establishing a policy that we make up the difference in wages for every agency that we do business with. But I don't think that my perception is that these specific agencies are not agencies that are squandering the funds, that have plush, cushy offices, that have huge discrepancies in salaries, that provide cars and perks to anybody who works there. These are agencies that are doing the best they can with really low budgets. So I would distinguish this situation from others we would get into.
I think we're ready to vote. All in favor of adding... it's been so long. How much was it?
37,860.
Yeah. 37 plus to the budget. Please signify by raising your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4.
I have an alternative motion. I'd like to propose that we do that in 3-year increments. That the first year be $12,620 added to target for this purpose. The second, to add 2% the next year, so that the next year be $12,872. And the third year, add another 2%, so that the third year be $13,129.
Is there a second? Well, I don't think we need any discussion. Go ahead, Mike.
I'll just remind people, the Human Service Coalition reviews these agencies. They did not recommend us to give a living wage increase of 37,860 over 1 year, or over 3 years, or over 12 years. They do a great review, and I accept their judgment as to what the agencies need. These agencies did not ask for this.
So anyone else want to make a comment? Well,
once again, we're not asking for them. This is living out the spirit of the policy that we established, Mike. And I really hope we can do something.
There's a resolution on the floor for 2% a year for 3 years.
The dollars are... I didn't want to just take the 37,860 and divide it by three, because then those folks will keep falling farther and farther behind. So it's slightly increased each year. So it's 12,620, then 12,8. And actually, I'm not sure how this is not one time. How does this work? It's multiple year target funding. It's not.
Yeah, that's what it would be. It's a 3-year.
Okay.
3-year target. Everyone understand the resolution? All in favor, signify by raising your hand, please. 1, 2, 3. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't think we need a break, do we? Or do we? Okay, 5 minutes. And then probation.
And then we're on probation.
We're 7 minutes late. 087, 088, and 089. OTR page 67. And the director is here. Who wants to be first here? We have 087, I have Mike, Dooley, Martha, 088, Dooley, 08, what's the other one, 9?
Secondary
Computer
Discussion.
089,
yeah.
Where is that?
I don't
know. That's Mike and Martha. Go ahead, Mike.
I'll move on 089, changing what was target 27108 to one time 27108. That's the first step of what we want to accomplish this evening.
Is there a second?
If Mike is going to make a series of things which are related to each other, could we allow him to explain that first?
Sure, I can do that.
Sure, go ahead.
When probation was before us, they described that they will have a retirement of an incumbent in August, but the salary for that incumbent in 2010 is presently target. They do not expect to fill that position, so my intention is to make the funding of that one time. That would then possibly make some target funding available for another use in the department, transition workforce specialist. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And I don't know if there's one action I can do. Norma, if you want to advise me in terms of a dollar amount between 089 and 087, I'm glad to do that, but I thought we would do it in steps.
It's probably better to do it in steps.
Okay.
But your intention, I think, is to, you're going to reduce the target in one-time fund that the at the same
keyboard
time,
keyboard specialist,
right?
Correct.
Okay.
That's my motion on the floor.
Is there a second to that?
My problem is I don't want to reduce the target without...
I plan on increasing the target elsewhere.
Okay.
Is there a second to my motion? Okay, discussion.
Do we get a second?
What?
Do we get a second?
Yeah. The voting Mike's motion is reducing
the target by 27108 and replacing it with one time 27108. And if I understand correctly, the department head agrees to this
so far.
Yes.
All in
favor,
signify by raising your hand, please. That looks like 7.5. 8.
Okay.
Okay. And opposed, if any? I see none. 8 to zip. Okay. Who's next here? 088, Mike?
Well, I have 087. I would make the transition workforce specialist target funding at, I believe the number is 33244. Is that correct?
Is it?
You have that in front of you?
I do.
28843.
28843. That's
correct.
My motion.
And it's not, you're restoring that to?
Target.
Target. Is there a second for that? Dooley. Okay. Discussion. Martha.
We already voted on the other one. I thought 289. I thought 89 was 16801.
I may not have the right page in front of me. Sorry.
What was 89?
It's
16801.
89. Although on the list of motions, it's 22229.
That's local share.
Yeah, I was moving, I'm sorry, you're right. I was moving the appropriation and I didn't account for just the local share portion. So if that's understood, that I was moving 27108, but the end result is a local share decrease of target by 22229 and increase of one time by 22229, then I think that motion can stand.
Okay.
And now my motion is local share target increase of 28843.
Okay, so if I can just say this is a person.
Did that get seconded? You seconded?
Yeah.
So
the transition workforce specialist. We heard a very compelling report from Casey Monahan about the reentry project, at the jail, and this includes the work of this transition workforce specialist, and it makes all the difference in the world to have somebody inside, seeing that person inside the jail as well as outside the jail. It's the same person. She's at the Justice Center. It's what you call wraparound services, so that it helps people turn into tax-paying, working people instead of offenders or ex-offenders as they had been. So,
anyone else? All in favor of the motion, signify by raising your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Opposed? Seven votes in favor.
Undecided.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. There was one other one, or is that covered?
No.
I think that covers it, but...
Why is 088 listed?
I didn't list it, so...
It was my understanding...
Go ahead, Petrie.
...that there was
Pat.
Another motion. I think Dooley was going to make a motion.
Yeah, it was 088.
Yes.
Restore the security officer?
Correct.
Oh.
We didn't do that already?
No.
Not today.
Yes, I plan to move that. I didn't realize that was today. Where's my old list?
Well, is there a second for that? Will? Discussion. It's restoring the security officer 24/7/37.
It was my understanding that that position has been described as very important to everybody in the building for the last several years, and it's been treated sort of like a ping pong ball. So I would like to make it firm that we will continue to support the security officer position.
Any other? Mike and then Carol.
We did speak about this when Pat Buchel gave us her presentation, her presentation meetings, and I did ask this question regarding if this officer wasn't replaced, how would they manage? They shared that they would try to look for light times. This is not a lockup facility. This is a community justice center where people can come and go, and they would have to rely on a backup at times for possibly someone coming over from social services, which is, 3.5 blocks away, if needed. Now, that's not that reliable if you have a fight breakout, but I think that kind of adjustment may have to be made in these fiscal times. There would still be a security officer, and they can schedule that person for the times they feel are the most urgent.
I would... Going to choose Carol. Pat, do you want in here?
I do. I would like to talk about the position a little bit, if I could.
Okay, if that's all right with the two people on the floor here. Go ahead.
Okay, so I just want to reiterate that the population coming into the Community Justice Center includes our day reporting population, who are being referred by the jails and the courts and the drug court. It's a criminal population, adult criminal population. We also have our felony drug court and city drug court participants reporting to the probation officers there. We also have family treatment court participants reporting there. So the security officers are the first point of entry. It is a non-secure building. Security officers are responsible for checking people in. They wand our day reporting participants for weapons. So we are concerned about safety for the entire building. There's also two OCA employees in the building that are part of, the security is responsible for, including probation staff. I want to remind people that the day reporting population is a population that typically it can be characterized as individuals who don't think before they act. They don't think about the consequences before they act. Sometimes situations can get out of control between not only staff and participants, but between participants themselves. The population changes every day. There are different personalities that are there every day, sometimes with issues between participants who are in attendance there that we might not necessarily know about. So it's really important that we have a good security presence to address those issues. I would hate to see my staff
have to step in, you know, probation officers or a supervisor have to step into a volatile situation through the lack of having a security officer who's trained in that position to handle those kinds of situations. So from my input is for safety of everyone in the building, not only staff, but between participants, I would really encourage that, you know, that security officer position be restored to full time. So that's my position.
Okay, thank you for that, Carol.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I understand what we're doing here in terms of the different lines. So you're proposing, does this have an effect on the budget or on the target? We're taking the money back out of one time and putting it in the
It would
target?
Affect the target, yes.
Yeah. So it won't come out of her rollover, it would come out of...
It will increase the target, yes.
Martha?
But it shows here $24,737 in rollover. That, I mean, since Joe didn't approve the position, but you've offered that 24/7 in rollover to help next year?
My understanding was that
it's a Tyler the way it's listed.
Right.
Yes, when I spoke with my budget person about this, this was going to be offset by rollover, so there wouldn't be any impact on the tax rate, and it would be basically...
It will impact the tax levy. It won't impact the local share. The local share will be zero.
Okay.
But when you're using one-time money, you can't carry an ongoing position. I'm sorry, Jonathan.
That's all right.
You can't carry an ongoing position with one-time money, so it would affect the tax levy. It'll increase the fund balance, but it'll increase the tax levy as well.
Okay.
Anyone else? Frank?
Pat, the write-up it indicates, and I think you just mentioned, that the populations that are frequent in the building are day reporting participants, felony and misdemeanor drug court participants, family treatment court participants, and other visitors. Do any of those courts contribute monetarily to any of the support?
No.
Can they?
That would be an OCA question, but no. We've donated office space for the OCA employees to be there. I mean, the concept is one-stop shopping so that participants who are reporting their felony drug court, city drug court participants can see the coordinators of the various programs, but no, they don't contribute financially. And I wouldn't even know how to go about asking for that.
Thank you.
Will.
So what, am I understanding correctly that what we're talking about is a restoring a half-time position?
Yes.
So it's currently you have one and a half. Are we adding
no,
that?
Currently I have two.
Currently you have two. It would draw back to...
And I've offered, and my OTR is to balance the budget. I had to reduce one of the security officers.
So you cut it by half. Now you want to restore
yes.
half. And out of curiosity, if we failed to do this and you had only one,
one and a half.
That's right. If we fail to do that, then you just have periods when you don't have
correct
backup.
Correct.
Somebody gets sick
and
or whatever.
And staff who aren't trained would have to be responsible for providing that backup.
Okay.
Mike and Martha.
Let me just clarify. At no time in the calendar year would there ever be not having a security officer. You'd always have at least one, and at times you would have one and a half.
Well, there's vacations, there's sick time.
But if you scheduled the half person to cover when there's vacation and sick time for the full-time person, you would always have coverage.
We would have half-time coverage. One person doing a half-time coverage. If the full-time person was out sick or on vacation, we would have that half person doing
but
the partial
But that person's half-time year-round. So if I took a week's vacation, the person who's half year-round could be scheduled for that whole week.
Correct.
According to a creative scheduler.
But it would be half-time coverage. Instead of having one and a half people, you'd only have one person doing half-time coverage.
I think there's a way to schedule one and a half people to always have at least one body covering the facility. I believe that's true.
Martha?
Do you have the ability to take a half-time worker and pay him overtime so that he...
No.
So
no,
you
I
couldn't...
Don't There's no money in the budget to pay for overtime.
So if a person is, if the full-time worker is on vacation, you can't turn the half-time person who's left into a full-time
Correct.
Worker.
That's what I was trying to say, that there would just be one person doing a half-time shift.
There'd be one person there half of the week.
Yes.
Okay. And I would point out that the...
Or half of a day.
Half of a day.
A few hours during the day.
Right. I would also point out that there's you really need somebody in near the door, at or near the door, for people who are coming in. And when sometimes what happens, and Kathy Lintel brought this to us years ago, sometimes what happens, something else will happen way over in the classroom. And if you only have one guard there, then that person has to go break up a fight in the classroom, and then the front, the entrance is left completely
uncovered,
unguarded. So the idea of actually having a secure facility pretty much goes away, and you can't predict how often that's going to happen. And, you know, it seems to me we probably have a liability issue here if we really knowingly allow this gap to go forward, and then something happens that somebody could actually come back and hold us accountable for that. Just a thought.
Any other discussion? The resolution on the table is restoring the position to Target.
Target.
And the amount is
$24,737.
Mm-hmm. And to take the rollover as well.
Yeah. All in favor of that, signify by raising your hand, please. 1, 2, 3. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Rural Libraries, 028033.
That's me.
And 028, I have Mike Quinkler.
On Rural Libraries. On OTR 030, I'd like to move a reduction of target of $20,003. That's the amount for the Lansing Library has not at this point budgeted for their allocation from Tompkins County in 2009, if I understand correctly. And I can speak to that if I get a second.
Oh, second. So
Frank, second. 028. Go ahead.
When we asked last year, we just began the Lansing Community Library. They didn't know if they would have an ongoing stream of funding. Subsequent to that, our vote, they did get an ongoing stream of funding from the town of Lansing of $105,000. Our contribution is $28,000. But as of late September, we got an accounting that they have an excess for the year. Their budget for the year looks like it's going to have $21,000 left over. And I think at the time when we funded this library, we expected that we would be a partner for a need. But then when the town of Lansing vote happened, that they could basically fund the whole budget, our need diminished. So I'm not diminishing the entire budget of 28. I'm suggesting taking out 20,000 of that. Because they have enough local funding otherwise.
Is that point of order? I think we're on the wrong OTR.
Am I?
28 is the Finger Lakes Library Service. 30 is Lansing.
Well, we're on 30.
I meant to say 30. If I didn't, that's what I meant.
Yeah, you did say that.
Frank.
I was a little concerned when we started to fund Lansing, because of the work that a lot of us have done over the last 12 or 13 or 14 years to bring all the libraries up to some
status and also some equality of funding. However, the concern I have, Mike, is if we're going to start, it's good to be examining the budgets, but the goal was, I think, to try to treat all four of the freestanding town libraries, Lansing, Dryden, Groton, Trumansburg, Ulysses, and Newfield, to treat them basically the same and give them the same amount of money most of the time. Some of them weren't ready for the funds at different times. Some of you might remember the Dynex system and the debacle that that created. But I remember Newfield wasn't quite ready for that money, but and we held it back for a year and then gave it to them. My concern is, if we're going to start singling out libraries, we ought to look at Dryden. Dryden just sold the Lincoln papers and walked away with over $2 million. God bless them. If they were fortunate enough to have that kind of a donation, I don't think they should be penalized for that. My understanding is they're going to use the bulk, if not all of that money, to build the addition down on the side street. And that's been the plan for probably 12 of... When I chaired all three of those special committees, that was part of the plan each of those library directors had. I seconded this. I'm not supposed to talk against it, because although I wasn't the mover, was I?
Yeah, you can talk against it.
It isn't that I'm opposed to what you're proposing. I just don't think that it's fair to single out one library who may not be ready for it. The process we used to hold back Newfield's money, awaiting for their Dynex system to catch up, or their need for Dynex to catch up, I'm just wondering if there's some way we can park these funds maybe in the contingent fund.
That's fine.
And when Lansing's ready for it, give it to them.
That's fine with me.
But I don't really think we ought to penalize them at this point. And I hope that's, I find it hard to believe that that's what you're proposing. So is there a way we can move this into contingency, and then when Lansing's ready for it, give it to him?
I'm glad to assume that as a friendly amendment.
Okay. I would support that as opposed
well, you're
to
the second,
just
sir.
Zeroing it out.
Go ahead.
Is the librarian from Lansing here?
Say again.
I'm asking. Okay, is there anybody who can talk about this issue of the money not being spent yet?
Well,
go to the microphone.
Oh, sorry. Just a brief comment.
I'm Diane Pamel from Southwark. A brief comment Susie made to me was because there was so much confusion and contention about whether the library would still be a library, that she held off on spending until she knew it was an entity to spend. So rather than trying to catch up with all that money quickly and spend irrationally, she just hasn't been able to, you know, really responsibly spend the money that she has. So that's part of the philosophy that she had was, if we aren't a library yet, I don't want to spend the money. So that was part
because
of
the vote this year.
Yeah, because of the vote.
Okay, well, I just want to say I appreciate that careful stewardship. Mike, I appreciate your examining every single line in this budget and all the ancillary budgets. But I certainly can't support this. I think that the fact that the Lansing community came out to support its library this year was terrific. I'm opposed to this.
Mike.
So I'll reiterate Frank's friendly amendment that it will be in contingency pending a plan. And I think we've just heard that a plan may well come in 2010, and this can be easily freed up by the next legislature.
Any other comments?
Is this a target or a one-time thing that you're doing, Mike?
I had moved target into contingency, but it can be moved out of contingency by the next legislature. I think that there's a need for a plan is all we're asking for. So if we target fund the sheriff department, but we park it in contingency based on needing a plan for, board outs, then we release the funds that way as well. So we can put target funding in contingency pending a plan.
Hearing.
I don't ever remember doing that before, but okay.
Any other comments? All in favor of the resolution as amended, raise your hand, please. One, two, three. Opposed? One, two, three, four, five. Go ahead, Carol.
Yeah, I was going to, I'm moving as a package for all of our rural libraries to cover their $10,300 to restore their budgets. Can I?
Is there a second?
I'll second it to hear what you have to say.
Okay. I think that the marginal difference for libraries today in their spending has to do with the need to provide computer service to residents. Using computers, in particular with broadband service, is something that our rural residents can't do at home. We have not been able to find the wherewithal to make sure that that happens. And in the same way that we think in terms of providing preventive services rather than services after people are in trouble, I think that's how we have to think about making sure that all of our residents have access to a computer, and hopefully a computer that is tied to the internet. These are the highways of the future. This is what that is, the highway of the future. And let their fingers do the walking. Help people to let their fingers do the walking to the extent that people can find out information right there, closer to home. They don't have to get in their cars and use our roads to drive to where they need to go to accomplish the same tasks. It's what allows people to get information and to join the modern world. And so I just think that it's a great burden on the rural libraries to do this. I was moved by hearing about the libraries that have people lined up outside, even after hours, using the service. And so I would like to be able to restore. Originally, part of my motion was to cover this $10,300 difference with 2/100,000ths of the highway budget, because I do see these as linked. I am not moving forward that portion of it, but I do want you to keep that in perspective. So that's where I'm coming from.
Frank.
There's
Carol,
no seconder yet.
Just say yes or no. Your motion is to restore $10,300?
Jointly to restore all of the rural library budget.
Thank you. The first, let me just clarify, unless you happen to live in the village or in a stone's throw of any one of the four rural libraries and the reading rooms, you still have to drive to get there. Those of us that live outside the city or outside even the town of Ithaca in some cases, you still have to drive to get to the facility. There was a time, and Karen, maybe you can help me out with this. There was a time when Time Warner established Roadrunner service to the rural libraries so that they would have internet access. Is that still true? And my recollection was that they provided it for free. Right, and that's still going on. That's probably 10 or 12 years that's been happening, something like that. Carol, I'm going to support your recommendation because I think it's important that, for a lot of the reasons you mentioned, but it's certainly something that in these times, these folks really need. Simple. And I thank you for not pulling it out of the highway budget.
If this were a smaller amount of money, we could talk even longer about it. So I'm going to move. I would.
So you're going to make it smaller?
I'd make it smaller.
So you can talk longer?
I'm not going to support
here
it. Right. I'm not going to support it at 10.3, but I would, if this fails, I would move 51.50, half of that request.
The maker of the motion was 10. Who was the seconder? You, Frank?
Julie.
Is there a second for?
No, I'm not making a motion. I'm going to let it go.
I don't
let it be voted on
yet. Unless you're planning to make a motion.
No, I'm just telling you. I won't support 10.3, but I would support and would move the following. But let you go forward with your vote.
And I'm not going to support 10.3 either. So add it up. Go ahead.
I would like to be reminded what we did, if anything, when the Finger Lakes Library small request was voted on before. Did that get turned down?
We didn't vote on it.
I see. So, Carol, have you any interest in adding the Finger Lakes smaller request to this package?
Oh, Norma, can you refresh my memory about whether...
I assume that all of the rural libraries, they're all part of this 10.3.
They're included.
They're included.
Yeah, but not the Finger Lakes libraries.
They're all the rural libraries are included in that one.
So $10,300 has to be divided among five libraries and the Finger Lakes libraries?
Yes.
Correct.
So they get $1.12 each?
that was their request.
Okay, if it does include it. Thank you, Carol. I just wasn't sure.
Sorry.
Carol, then.
Frank. I just want to ask a follow-up question to the one that Frank asked. Does Time Warner provide computers? Do you provide computers? Do you have computers at your libraries?
The libraries do have public access computers, but I've been to the microphone.
Could you go to the microphone?
Thank you. Time Warner only provides the connection.
And only one connection for the public access piece. The libraries do provide their own hardware and their own software or anything else that they might need in order to provide that service to the public.
Thank you.
Frank and then Pam.
Carol, I'd like to amend your $10,300 so that the Finger Lakes Library System could get some funding beyond. We will accomplish Martha's suggestion, even though she hasn't moved it yet, if we include Finger Lakes Library in there. It indeed will reduce this divided by six. That's what you intended, was it, Carol?
No.
Who wants to talk here?
Didn't I hear that this included the Finger Lakes Library
System? Yeah, but the split is not equal. Five libraries at the 1867 plus Finger Lakes Library at 965 comes to that number that Carol came to.
Okay, I can. Right. All right,
That was my answer. Okay, Pam.
I'm completely confused now. I thought that. Okay, so you're trying to restore. You're doing all the OTRs, Carol, right, that are in our book.
That relate to rural libraries.
That relate
and Finger Lakes.
And Finger Lakes.
And Finger Lakes Library. Thank you.
And that, and the amount is
$10,300.
Are we all ready here? Okay, all in favor of restoring $10,300 to anything that has the word library in it.
Rural library.
Signify by raising your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Opposed, if any. 6. 1, 2. It was 6-2. Did you have your hand up, Julie?
No, I thought you said you were not going to vote for it. I didn't understand.
She voted in favor of it.
Yeah, I voted in favor. Because I thought we were only talking about four libraries, not everything.
Okay.
caucus?
No.
Okay.
6-2. Okay. Thank you for that. Planning department. No OTR. Item page 280.
Don't let that stop us.
Yeah, right. Sorry. Ed is here. Make up one. No. Dooley, what? I'm sorry?
There is no OTR.
Right.
It's a legislative OTR.
Okay.
Deed.
And that
and
is?
This is to have the planning board support for
8178.
Three advisory boards in the total of what Jim just said.
8178. And would there be a second for that?
Yes.
And that would be Carol seconding. Now discussion.
Third.
Frank.
No, I was third.
Oh, you were seconding?
30.
So this obviously has some strong support here. Is there anyone wants to make a comment on it?
We can just vote. We don't have to comment.
We do.
It's like Martha said, if we keep reducing the amount, we can talk longer. It's an inverse correlation here. The support for the support for the library for the planning advisory board, the Water Resources Council, and the EMC is really. It's really a necessity, and the department, in their review of where they could come up with a 6.25 cut, had to reduce those three plus their support for the Ag and Farmland Protection Board. We already addressed the Ag and Farmland Board. I think this is a small amount of money for the amount of work that's entailed, and it probably ought to be restored just so we can continue the good work that those three boards are doing without much impact on some of the changes that have been proposed. As chairman of the Water Resources Council, let me tell you, we have gone through gyrations on how we will do the work that is presently being done by the support staff, and it's going to be a can of worms. And I suspect, while I don't know everything about the EMC's proposal or the Planning Advisory Board's proposal, if they are going through the same gyrations that we are, it's going to be a real testy 2010 to get the same quality of work done.
Thank you. Ed, may I put you on, not to put you on the spot, I think, as someone I hear often here, do you want to make any comment on this, or are you happy to sit quietly on the side and see how it goes?
Happy to let this proceed.
Okay. I think it's... let's vote on this. 8178 to add back in to cover all these boards. All in favor, signify by raising your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed? 2. 6-2. Thank you. Cooperative extension 036 OTR, and that would be. Is that a new one also?
Is that me again?
I think that's you, Duel.
So OTR 36 was described in the big book as a COLA, but I think you all received a more accurate description of
on
it.
On your desk.
It's on your desk.
Yes.
It really should be described and is now described as a maintenance of effort. And its amount is remarkably small to enable the retention of two staff members. We all know how cooperative extension is sort of magical in bringing in money to multiply what we give them. And a lot of what they're doing is exactly what we would like to see them do to deal with climate change, food security, lots of good things, looking very forward-looking to take care of people in the county. I would like to move OTR 36 in the amount of $16,700.
Will?
And I will second.
Okay. Discussion. There are none.
If the director would like to say anything, I'd like to offer him a chance.
I think you probably want to join. Do you want to say anything? Or do you want to roll it out and see how you do?
I'm not sure what I want to do tonight.
But
I just very quickly, just the one thing that you know, when we put this in, when we wrote our OTRs, we had anticipated the 42.5 or 44,000, whatever it was, 6.25% cut, and that we could take. But it's been the large number of contracts that actually is what's going to actually cause these layoffs. So
speak a little louder, can you please?
It's the contract cuts that and combined with the 6.25% cut that are really going to result in these layoffs. We're looking at six. This would reduce it to by two, if this was approved.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Ken. Did you mean that even with this addition, you'll still have to lay off four?
Yes. The possibility still remains that we'll be laying off four people.
Any other comments or questions? All in favor of this restoration of 16.7? Signify by raising your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Opposed? 1. Okay. District Attorney.
Well, it's a little early.
Who wants to be the district attorney?
I had not planned to make another planning department motion tonight, but since
Ed is here.
Since Ed left, go ahead.
Well, surprise.
Is it an addition or a deletion?
It's an addition.
Oh, all right, I'll bring it back then.
What struck me as I looked at this list again. What struck me was that Ed's number one priority was to include additional funds, which he did not ask us for, but the use of them would be to implement the portion of the comprehensive plan, especially the new energy and greenhouse gas element, which seems as though it should be something we would want him to do. And I didn't have a specific dollar amount. The amount that's included in his memo is $16,285. I don't know what that means in terms of staffing, but I do know that we seem very concerned about dealing with what is the biggest threat to our planet. And this is a particular issue. Gas drilling is part of it, but there are a lot of other things with the energy and greenhouse gas element. So I really wondered if there's any interest in the remaining people, among the remaining people here, in addressing this. I hate to ask Ed to come back to another meeting. We haven't really talked about this. But if there's a sense of support, I would be happy to try to move something tonight. And if not, I will not move anything tonight.
Well, we have a little lull in the meeting.
Yes.
If these people want to talk about this for a couple of minutes, I certainly could.
Could Ed talk about what would be involved in this?
I want to know if
anybody's in the book.
Did I call on you? Yeah, go ahead. I said, no, you didn't call me.
Well, somebody, build a void here.
I said maybe Ed can talk about what we'd get for the 16,285.
Oh, okay, go ahead, Ed. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Basically, these funds are typically used in three ways, as a cash match for grants where we end up hiring perhaps consultants or hiring on project assistants to directly hire project assistants or interns in the department to work on specific aspects of the comp plan elements we're trying to implement, or just going out directly and getting expertise that we don't have in the office. Sometimes it's engineering, it might be surveying, whatever it takes to implement a project that we can't do ourselves. So that's the kind of uses. We have many things, many irons in the fire on the energy side in particular right now, where there, you know, maybe opportunities that require some outside services or support or funding. And that's more likely than not where this would end up going, but I can't tell you precisely at this point in time.
Who's vice chair of budget?
Mike Hattery.
Truly, I'm trying to get a hold of the DA.
Yeah, okay. Ed, I know some of us have asked you to work on gas drilling, even set aside, and many, I think a number of your staff have set aside other things and are looking at GEIS, et cetera. And I think that work won't end November 30th by a long shot. Could you describe, would this help in any way relieving the pressure that new issue that's been laid?
One of the things that's been mentioned in different places, not by us, but by others, is that there's an assumption out there that the planning department will be tracking all natural gas drilling permitting activity in the county. We don't have anybody assigned or available necessarily to do that. The thing that came to mind was that would be maybe a good job to hire a graduate student part-time to be able to track the permitting and record and map the locations and all that kind of thing, if there was a desire to have something like that done. So there's an example. There are many, many, the other thing that we've noted lately is there are many stories out there, reports of adverse impacts that have occurred in other parts of the country. We don't have any staff capability to track those things down, verify, accurately portray, or try to compare them to what might be happening here to get a better sense of how valid those concerns are, how they might impact us here. Another kind of thing that if we had a project assistant or intern available, they could run those things down, do kind of summaries of some of those things to help us be better prepared. I guess there's a whole list of things like that that could be done that we don't have staff to assign to those things.
He's still made a comment.
No, yeah.
Just keep talking.
Carol?
Ed, what would it cost for a graduate student to do what you're talking about?
Well, we haven't really scoped that out in terms of how much time or how many, how many hours for how long. I mean, this is not a request we made. We are responding to the legislature's request for information on what it was we cut and what it would be our priorities if those were somehow to be restored, and that's what this reflects. Those are the amounts that were cut from those areas to make the budget. We didn't request them back, knowing all of the things you're more aware of than I am about the struggles you're facing with this budget.
So,
go ahead.
Heaven knows I believe in planning. I'm a planner myself. And I might be in favor of something that we take back and think about that's specifically directed toward about gas drilling as we revisit the budget. But because there's a lull in our schedule, to me, is not a good reason to bring forward another $16,000 of spending for things that I think we might be able to address in the work plan as we look at that for 2010.
Some of that, yeah. I mean, I know we won't be able to do everything everybody wants us to do.
Hearing that, there is no motion. Why don't we take a look?
Laura was coming next.
I'd rather not do that.
No motion.
I have a motion.
You do. Okay. What's your motion?
Sorry. I want to add $16,285 to the planning department as target.
Is there a second?
If it fails, I'll try one time.
I call the question.
Okay. You already had the discussion. Mike?
Yeah. I call the question.
Okay.
It was a tentative second, so I don't think we have the votes.
Question has been called. All in favor of calling the question, raise your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Opposed to calling the question. 1, 2, 3. And the question is?
16,285 in target.
Okay. Was there, who seconded that? Over here?
16,285.
And you all know what the 16,285 is for?
No.
It's a memo?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a memo that was attached to...
I know.
The case.
I know.
And my sense that maybe this should have a further discussion some other time. All right. All in favor of the resolution as proposed, 16,280 to target...
285.
285. Signify by raising your hand. 1, 2, 3. Opposed, Benny. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I would move that as one time because I know that this coming year is going to be especially difficult.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
We don't need any further discussion. I don't think all in favor of her resolution one time, signify by raising your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's not to say that we can't discuss this at a later date. Thank you. The DA is not reachable at this point. We have called, been up to the office. She's not there. Pat, would you have a cell phone for the DA by any chance?
I have her number, but not with me.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
In the past, when a department head is not able to attend, it's usually the chairperson of the committee to which that department reports that would make the presentation. So who's chairman of public safety?
Gee, I don't know.
Oh, go for it, Martha.
Well, I think between Joe and me.
Well, she's scheduled for 7:40, obviously.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, that's
well,
not.
Well, maybe we should just recess until she gets here.
Okay, but that would be good. But we could. David Squires is sitting here quietly for this whole time, and on the front of our blue sheet, and I just asked him if he was willing to have a small discussion about this. The delinquent tax collection item, but there is a sentence at the bottom of it. It says, David Squire believes short-sighted, this to be short-sighted.
Oh, right.
And he's not taking credit for that quote. So
he's wearing glasses, though.
What?
Oh,
the DA will be here in 2 minutes. You've been saved. Thank you very much, Gwen. It seems like the sheriff... got a hold of you, and
you know he did. The sheriff's good at finding people, and
well,
he in fact found me.
I'm pleased with that, and so are we. So we are here. You all have her have Gwen's slideshow on your desk, and here we go. District Attorney 2010 budget. And Norma will push the button for you, Gwen.
Okay. Would you like a running commentary, or do you just want to scroll through and ask questions as they arise?
Whatever you want.
All right. You know, I would like to start by saying I appreciate your flexibility. I know this presentation was scheduled twice before. My office is involved in a number of homicide investigations. As you know, I got yanked away twice, so I appreciate your patience. It's taken a while to get us to this point tonight, and thank you for being patient about that. All right, Norma, take it away.
I'm with you.
What do you do?
Okay, this is self-explanatory. You hear this every year. Pretty much our duties are mandated by county law. We have to prosecute violations of any offenses under state penal law. Not a lot of wiggle room there. We have the 9 town courts, the 2 village courts. We have to do appeals in Albany. We do city court prosecutions now since, I think, 2003, and we do victim recovery and advocacy for crime victims whose cases are being prosecuted by our office. Okay, I have no idea what this is. But it is, I have no idea why we have that blip in 2007.
Is that the paper version of what you filed?
Yeah. Yes. Well, I looked at it on paper, Mike, and I didn't understand it there either.
Sure, FTE.
But so, I know what full-time equivalents are. We have not added any staff. As you all know, we have a line for a deputy DA, and that position has been funded, although that office is not occupied. I'm performing the duties of the deputy as well as the duties of the DA. Just so there's no confusion, if you look in my budget on it's page 306 on my budget out of 349. Uh-huh. Okay. If you look under expense where it says assistant district attorney, and then it says deputy district attorney, the deputy district attorney position is not filled. So the money that is shown in the budget for that position really should be counted into the assistants. It doesn't change any total dollar amounts, but it was just something that I didn't catch when the budget was prepared. Those dollar amounts should really be up under the ADAs because I'm the deputy and the DA at this point. Moving right along. Any questions about this? I think this is pretty self-explanatory. That's our appropriations and revenues. Are there any? Do you have any questions about that? It is what it is. Okay, our pressure points. We have rising costs. We anticipate significantly rising costs in 2010. We have three open homicide cases now. We have defendants charged or indicted in two of the three. I am confident we will have a third defendant before we get very far into 2010. If these cases, in fact, go to trial, and I have no reason at this point to think that they won't, particularly with respect to Mr. Cott and Mr. Butler, we are going to be talking about very costly trials. These are murder second charges. These are A1 felonies. These are the most serious cases recognized under the law. It's unlikely, particularly with Mr. Cott, that we're going to be offering any plea lower than that. It's early in the Butler case to know for sure, but it's possible that that will go forward as a murder prosecution, depending on the outcome of the competency exam that the judge has ordered. These are going to be real expensive cases. I do not have enough money in my budget for what these cases will probably cost. But they are what they are, and hopefully we will be able. We have rollover. If I have to, I can go into that. We can get to rollover in a minute. Also, felony prosecutions are on the increase. I just have a little information for you on that, probably something that you're fairly aware of. Indictments and Superior Court informations have increased every year with the exception of 2007. We were at 109 indictments and 69 Superior Court informations in 2008. We're on track to exceed that this year. To date, we've opened 2,333 cases. In calendar 2009.
Say that number again, Gwen.
Pardon me?
Say that number again.
2,333 cases have been opened by my office this
year. Since January 1?
Correct. That counts everything. I mean, we're not talking just about felonies there. We're talking about every case. But every case opened, whether it's a violation, a misdemeanor, or a felony, has to be prosecuted by one of my staff. Those are the numbers we're at. Yes?
You mentioned that you work in the town courts. Do you do it in every kind of case, or just felon, just higher level misdemeanors, or
no? All misdemeanors, all penal law violations, all traffic tickets. The only thing we do not prosecute are violations of local ordinances or town ordinances. Okay. Those are prosecuted. I give authority over to the town attorneys to prosecute those barking dogs, noise, things like that.
Got it. Thank you.
And obviously the cost of operations is increasing, but we're going to do our best to hold the line against that. Nothing's broken in the office at this point, and I'm hoping we're not going to have to replace anything expensive until at least 2050. Okay, well, that's our budget's about $984,000, just shy of a million. That's where we're at. Now, we do have an OTR, so I'm not too sure why that doesn't show. You'll see if you look.
Because you're using your rollover, Gwen.
Yeah, but not all of it.
No, but you're using rollover to offset the cost of your over-target request. That's why it looks like there isn't anything.
Oh, okay.
So it is misleading. There is an over-target request
right.
for,
and that's,
for a portion of an assistant.
That is correct, to the tune of about $38,000, I believe. Okay. These are what we've slashed for the coming year. It will negatively impact our ability to prosecute cases like the Cadillac prosecution. Obviously, we have to prosecute cases, and we will. In terms of working hours, my staff works as much as it takes. They're on salary. If we have to work around the clock, we do that. The areas where I can cut and where I have cut, if you look at the budget, is training, professional services, office supplies, extradition, and witness fees. The only place, and I think these are genuinely reachable cuts. We did slash office supplies by an awful lot, $4,000. But in these hard fiscal times, we've got to cut somewhere badly, and we're going to aim for that number. Extradition, that could be slightly disingenuous, I'm hoping, or it could just be I'm being too optimistic. If we find the person who killed Deborah Rumsey in California, in all likelihood, I'm going to extradite that person, and I've left only $1,000 in the budget for extradition. We didn't have to use a lot of extradition money this year. We hopefully won't have to use a lot next year. So I've cut it based on the fact that we haven't had to use it much. I can't promise that I can hit that number. In the other areas, we will. We're going to renegotiate. We may have to renegotiate our contract with the grand jury stenographer. May not be able to hold grand jury quite as often as we would like. Probably nobody's going to get too much training next year. But these are the cuts we can make. These are the cuts that don't take bodies out of jobs. So, you know, I understand belt tightening has to happen. It does hurt, but we'll do it.
What?
Yes, Frank.
Any question? On the extradition and the witness fees, is there a danger? I know you would not intentionally do this, but is there a danger that not going the extra mile in either of those categories could cause you to put the outcome of a case in jeopardy?
Well, let's take extradition first. With respect to extradition, if there's a person who's absconded who has a warrant out for, say, grand larceny, fourth degree, Class E felony, not a very serious level felony, and they're found in Georgia, I might choose not to extradite them and make the warrant a warrant returnable in New York only. And I might not jeopardize the case. I may just not choose to bring somebody back from that low-level felony to New York for trial. If we had a case...
Like Deborah Rumsey.
Like we say we found the person who killed Deborah Rumsey and we found them in Georgia, that person I would bring back. If we had the case, if we could make the case, I would bring that person back. And, you know, we would find a way to pay for it. We would either find it in rollover or we would transfer from funds, or if push really came to shove and it was an important enough issue, I wouldn't come to you guys for just anything. But for something like that, I would come to you guys and say, I need $10,000 to, you know, to bring somebody back. It's quite expensive because of the rules that govern how you transport prisoners.
Yeah, and would you handle the witness fees category the same way?
Yeah, yes. And those aren't expert witness fees, Frank. The experts were before under professional services. Those are the people that cost $500 an hour. These fees are statutorily set. They're not very expensive. I'm pretty sure I can say we can hit that number. And if it was going to jeopardize a case, yeah, I would make noise about it. Well, you had your hand up.
On the extradition, I'm not familiar with the process, but I understand we're having to, are we having to send somebody down to basically argue the case down, argue the case for extradition down there? Or?
No. That the thing that costs the money is if a person is picked up on our warrant and they have, and they're in what's called the receiving state, and I'm in New York, which is called the demanding state. Right. If they're picked up there on my warrant and there's no charges there, we get billed per diem for keeping them in their jail. If they don't have concurrent charges in that receiving state, then when it comes time to transport them, there's a couple of ways you can go, but you have to have two people with a prisoner. You can't send one. And if they have to fly or spend X amount of time traveling, they have to stay overnight. And then you send them by plane, and then it's three plane tickets back. To give you an example, back in 95 when we extradited Harry Hale from California to face the child sexual abuse charges here, Class B violent felony, back then it cost us on the order of $7,000 to bring him back and pay the fees associated. But those are not legal fees because we wouldn't charge for that. It would just be the travel. We don't have to go to court for that. They do that. All they really have to establish is that the person is the person who's named in the governor's warrant.
Good. Thank you.
Sure. Martha?
Did you say professional fees was the psychiatrist and that kind of?
Can be, yeah. Expert witness or an accident reconstructionist, for example, in a complicated, say, a DWI fatality, things of that nature. Gun person sometimes. Ballistics. You might need a ballistics expert in a gun case. Toxicologist. There's all kinds of professional people that you may need in any given trial.
Thank you.
Yes, Dooley?
You earlier had mentioned grand jury stenographers.
Yes, ma'am.
Being cut back. And that doesn't come under professional services, does it?
No, contracts.
It comes on. That's where I was looking. In contracts, it looks like grand jury stenography has gone from $15,000 to zero.
It's a misrepresentation. We do have a contract with Susan. That's not right. Hang on. Yes, it does look like that. No, look under Susan Nicholas Miller, grand jury stenography. Yeah, it says zero here.
Then there's no cut at all. It's the same.
It goes from zero to $15,000.
Well, but up right. above it goes from $15,000 to zero, so
right.
It looks like it's the same.
I haven't cut it yet. We're going to have to cut it. We're going to have to negotiate a cut with that.
Okay. You can understand my confusion.
Yes, I can. It's confusing to me.
Well, you covered all the bases, I think.
Oh, I have a question.
Okay, Carol has a question.
The West Group. Is that legal books?
Carol, can you speak up a little bit?
I was asking about the West Group, and my question here is whether we can save any money by using the law library up at Cornell.
Right. The West Group is the Westlaw computer legal research system. We have the very basic subscription. It would be pretty impractical to expect the ADAs to run up the hill to Cornell every time we had to do legal research. We really do have the basic subscription to Westlaw, and I don't see us getting by without it. We do, and as long as we're on the subjects of books, the criminal law handbooks we can't get by without. That's what we all carry to court. In fact, it's a miracle I don't have it with me here tonight. I think that's about the best we can do.
Well, Gwen?
Yes, Frank.
Don't you use occasionally Ernie Warren, the library downstairs?
Yes. When we need our Westlaw subscription, because it's the very most basic one, only has New York law. Sometimes you need to find precedent, and there isn't any New York precedent, so you have to go to the treatises and the digests to find case law from, say, other jurisdictions. There's really no point in paying for that on Westlaw because right. They charge an arm and a leg. So then we do go down. We get the case squibs out of the McKinney statutes down there. We use that. In fact, I was just down there yesterday. We use it pretty often. Family court, if you have to do family court stuff, you have to look in there.
And the DA continues. Go ahead.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Is that a hint?
This is the OTR that we were referring to before when Norma explained why we didn't show it on the screen. This is part of the salary for the local criminal court ADA. Frankly, we can't do without the ADA. And in preparing the budget, there wasn't any place else I could cut where I could come in here and say with a straight face that we would actually hit those targets, because I didn't think we could. So I've put a portion of this salary and fringe in as an over-target request because we can't possibly handle the caseload with reduced staff. This position is the Ithaca City Court position. We have 1,422 cases in that court.
And it's recommended administrative budget.
Right. That's true. That was something that was, I guess, recommended or approved.
Gwen, is it mandated that your office prosecute the city court cases?
I don't think it's mandated. You know, if you recall, it wasn't that many years ago when the city prosecuted and then Mr. Dentist wanted to take it over, and that was not looked on favorably, and then the time came when the city didn't want to do it, and when that happens, I believe the DA must.
It falls to you in that case.
That's my understanding, Frank. And it's not, I mean, certainly, I think it's good to have prosecution centralized in one place, but there's, I don't see any way this could be done less expensively by putting it over in the city again, and I don't think they have to take it. I don't think they have any interest in taking it. And I actually have some creative ideas that I'd rather not share in this exact moment about how we might handle this in 2010 and into the future. But for now, I would like to, I need this over target request and hopefully won't need it again.
Did you mean 2011?
Yes, 2011. Did I say 2010?
I did.
Numbers are not my best thing to look at.
Okay.
Yes.
This is one of those Tylers, right?
Yeah, that's what I checked with Norma on. Yeah. I wanted to make sure I was right. This raises the target. So our target is going to cover this position because we view it as a recurring expense. Mm-hmm. We're going to take rollover and put it back in the bank.
In 2010.
In 2010,
yes.
This is one of the creative accounting moves?
No. It's a, I don't know what the acronym is, but it recognizes this is a recurring cost, and so we're building it into our baseline.
Sorry. Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, this is, this is the downside. If without this position, frankly, the picture would be bleaker than this. I say that we'd have to plea bargain to ensure cases don't go to trial because we wouldn't have the personnel to do trials. And while I believe that a responsible district attorney will balance fiscal concerns with public safety needs, I don't think fiscal concerns can be the sole driver behind decision-making and serve the public interest. I just think that that's a position that it would be pretty disingenuous for me to take. I am keenly aware of the crunch that the whole county faces, and I do make decisions factoring in fiscal concerns to a degree that I think is appropriate given what the mandates of my job are. And associated with this particular position, we do really need it in order to be able to serve the public with respect to crimes committed in the city.
Any comments or questions for the DA who is here? Obviously. Mike. Martha.
Gwen, you've had consistent rollover in the 50s and 60s, and in 2009 you had accumulated 114,000 anticipated for 2010 and 55,000. Is this because you kept that deputy position open and you're kind of using it creatively year after year?
Well, not just that. We got some of that from people who left when Lee left, Lee Kutz left the position. Some of that salary, I think, went into rollover. It's all payroll. It's all from payroll. It's not all from the deputy DA position. We purposely didn't use a lot of it last year because we're dealing with an antiquated case management database. Mm-hmm. While the rest of the county is moving ahead toward the law enforcement data sharing program, we are going to have to replace that software system. I've had conferences with Greg Potter. That's going to run us somewhere between $60,000 and $80,000 to purchase that. That's why I didn't touch it last year, because we didn't have the let's agreement, hadn't been made, hadn't been finalized. So that's why it's as big a number as it is.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
Someone else had their hand up?
Marcy did. I was going to ask you about the software.
Anyone else?
Thank you,
Quinn.
Thank you. Oh, hand.
This is not a question. Your voice is such a commanding voice, it's hard to say no.
Thank you. Tell that to the juries.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Gwen.
Thank you.
We're really glad we caught up with you and you were able to get in there.
I appreciate your patience and flexibility, everybody. I know that it's been a little crazy.
For anything, we're flexible.
Thanks.
That's it, folks. All right. Yeah. There's a.
Well, since we have a little time on the schedule, anyway, the two other issues. Well, the three policy issues.
Yeah. Well, I'm choosing not to do those now.
There's a game that starts at 8. I just.
Okay.
I'm choosing not to do that. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
A second.
I had a question.
Carol seconded.
I had my hand there up before. Hand was up.
Is there a second?
Yes.
Okay. All in favor of adjourning?
All right.
Opposed? Any? What's your question?
I just wanted to know what the process was going to be and the timing to talk about the policy discussion.
I have a suggestion.
Sure, Mike.
People make motions.
Yeah.
Implicit in the budget are some assumptions. If you want to make a change, you make a motion.
Sounds like a plan.
You can discuss it without a motion.
Thank you all. Will, thank you for the food.
You're welcome.
I'm sure your colleagues appreciated it.
My question.
And the staff for...